Free. morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone that's come this way today. Good to see our visitors with us that are here today. And we have a special privilege. Brother Tom and his wife has come to be with us. Brother Tom is going to preach for us today. He's going to preach the Word of God, and it's just a great thing. I haven't got to speak with them that much, just on the car ride over here, but thankfully today we've got some good food. I can already smell it, and we're going to have a time of fellowship after the service today where we can all take time and opportunity to meet them and to talk with them and to learn a little bit more about them. And I think that's a good thing. Fellowship is a good thing between us. And granted, he and his wife come all the way from Africa to do this, to preach for us and to be with us this morning. And I think that's just I think that's something special in itself, saying that. But they're a brother and sister in Christ. And it doesn't make any difference where you're at in this world. If you know the Lord and the true pardon of sin, if you've been saved by God's grace, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And it doesn't make any difference what part of this world you live in. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm not going to preach, so don't think that I am. But there was a verse that came to my mind out of the fifth chapter of the book of Revelations in the ninth verse. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You know, it like I said, it doesn't make any difference where you live, what part of this world that we are in. There is one God, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have to turn to, that we have to look to for the same salvation. That same salvation is in each and every one of us. It has been saved by God's grace. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. It's repentance and belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only means of salvation, and it doesn't make any difference where you live at in the world. It's the same God, and it's the same way for everybody that's saved. And it's that same salvation. It's that same Spirit that's imputed into each and every one of us that have been saved by God's grace. It's God's Spirit. And it doesn't make any difference. It says they sung a new song. Each and every one of them that was saved by God's grace, they began to sing a new song. It's a song of redemption. It was a song of an experience of a time and a place where they met their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They was changed. Their life was changed when they met Jesus. And they were able to sing a new song. We can sing these songs out of these church hymnals here this morning. And if you haven't been saved by God's grace, you're not going to get the same understanding and the same effect as those that have been saved by God's grace. It's a new song to us. It's a new song to us that have been saved by God's grace. And I hope if there's any that is here today and don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, that they will listen and that they will heed the things that's said and done here today. In the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, in verse 3, it says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Many. I'm thankful to God this morning that I have that experience, a time and a place where I repented of my sins, I trusted in my Lord, and He saved my soul. And I'm thankful that I serve a God and He's put me in a place with others who have like and same experience, even if they're all the way from Africa. It doesn't make any difference. It's one Lord. I'll hush. I'm glad to be in the Lord's house this morning. He's with us. I do feel it. I know Brother Tom, as he stands this morning, would want your prayers. He needs your prayers. Not only when he's standing here, but when he goes back home, we need to continue to pray for him and his wife and the efforts that they're doing in Africa. But this morning, as he stands, y'all, please pray for him. And we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anyone have anything on their heart they'd like to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer? Let's remember this family in our prayers this morning. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people have cancer of some sort or shape, and a lot that we know of. And I had the opportunity to speak to Brother Jeff Brown. He's going to go back for, I think he told me, 9 weeks, and he's going to be running. They're going to be doing treatments on him for 9 weeks. He didn't know if he'd be able to be back in anymore or not, but he's going to be taking treatments, cancer treatments, for 9 weeks. And I did hear some good news, and I have, as of, I believe it was Wednesday, Brother Keith Carter's daughter, Jennifer, I believe is her name. They did the bone marrow test on her, and they come back negative. And they were actually—I was going to try to call them yesterday, but I didn't. But they was going to send her home. They were looking at sending her home, so that's a blessing. It truly is. Lord's healed her. But we, those of us who've been saved, we know the power of prayer. We know that God hears. And according to His will, He answers. So let's pray that for this family and for the many others that we know about are lost. We can't not mention them this morning. We know many lost, and let's pray for them this morning that the Lord would just intervene in their lives and open their eyes and enable them to know and understand their condition, that they would seek Him to be saved. Anything else on anyone's heart this morning? Continue to remember Brett. Ian, Alyssa, they all, they need to be saved. Someone else this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else this morning? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's remember Brother Tom and his good wife that's come here with him this morning. I want, if we could, I want to try to get you to sing a song after. We have prayer and nothing else to be said. Brother Quinn, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, kind and gracious, most loving, merciful, heavenly Father, for God, as we bow, Lord, before you this morning. Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for meeting with us today, dear God. And I thank you, Lord, for being the Lord that I have this morning. Assurance of your spirit, your God, dwelling with us, dear Lord, here in our midst. We ask, oh God, that you would just continue, Lord, to lead us, guide and direct us, serve us, dear Lord. You might get all honor and glory, Heavenly Father, for this, dear Lord, that your name would be lifted, Lord, today. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that are here, dear God, those requests that's been made this morning for families, dear Lord, that cancer. God, that you'd be in the midst of each one of them, dear God, that you would have your hand upon them, dear Lord. Give them grace and strength, dear Lord, that you would heal them, Lord, and pray that thy will be done, Lord, that you would be with their families, dear Lord, to help them, dear Lord, to know and to understand, dear God, direct them, Heavenly Father. We just pray, dear Lord, that you'd be with our lost, dear God. We pray, dear Lord, for bread, for Ian, to listen, and so many, dear God, we pray, Heavenly Father, for them this morning that something would be said or done that would reach, Father. We pray, dear Lord, for our friends, dear Lord, for our co-workers, dear God, that we are around from day to day, dear God, that we might be able to have the words, dear Lord, to just tell them about Jesus, Lord, that they might seek be saved, Lord. We just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the service today. We ask, oh God, that you be with Brother Tom, dear Lord, as he tries to stand, dear Lord, and break forth the truths of thy word. Lord, that you would bless him, dear God, with the words to say for this day, dear Lord, for this church. And we just give you thanks, Lord, for all that you do. Ask you, oh God, just to forgive us, Lord, our sins, and help us, dear God, to do thy will. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, we humbly beg and pray. You can go ahead and sing a song and then let her sing after you.
Yeah.
Deep, oh, I need.
really enjoyed that.
Might not be able to speak the language, but I knew the rhythm and the cross of Calvary that they were singing about. I'm thankful for that this morning, that I know Jesus that hung on that cross and died for my sins. Well, Tom, go ahead and preach.
I thank the Lord for this opportunity that He has given to me to come to this church. I think this is the first time. It's really a blessing and a privilege. And I thank you for giving me an invitation to come and be a part of this service. And thank you. I want to say that the Lord has been good. And I thank Him for saving my soul and for everything that He has done to me, because I know that many years that I spent in vanity, I could not find the way. But thank the Lord that I heard the truth, and I called upon the name of the Lord. After I felt the burden, after I was troubled in my heart, and I called upon His name, repenting of my sin, and He saved me. And I know that there's nothing that I have that I can offer at this particular moment. I've asked the Lord that if I was to speak anything this morning, is that He will help me to lift Jesus up, that I may not be seen but Him, because He's the one that is worthy for our worship, the one that we can, and that when we call upon, is able to help us. That there's no help that can come from me as a person, but that when we gaze upon His cross, the Bible says that as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, therefore the Son of Man needs to be lifted up. I pray that as I preach, that I may not be seen, but the Lord will be lifted up. That if there is anyone that is lost in here, that he may find his way and may call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will have mercy, because He did have mercy on me. And I believe that His promises are ever true. That if we seek Him, and when we call Him, He will be found. I want to thank the Lord that He has given me this particular time. First of all, before I open my Bible, I want just to tell you that it's been a challenge and a privilege for me to be here. And there are a lot of things that we do. The church or the mission in Kenya was started in the year 2002. For those of you that have not got the privilege to hear me, it started by when we had Brother Bryson preaching from FM radio, and we called him to come to Kenya, and after a while he came, and he preached the gospel, and through that work, through that him, the Lord, through the Union Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Georgia, Atlanta, we started a mission over in Kenya, 2002. In 2003, it was organized into a church. And since then, the Lord has been blessing us. Every year, we have got have a revival taking place, and we have seen lost souls coming to Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord for being faithful. Just as He is in America, He is also faithful in Africa. And the way He touches here, He continues to do the same. And I thank the Lord that we have a Lord that we can touch by our prayers. But when we call upon Him, He is real, that He hears the prayers. So the Lord has helped us to also start have a building in our place in Mombasa. Mombasa is in the along the coastal part of Kenya. It's along the Indian Ocean. And we have got a church built and have about four missions started. There's one that we are reviving in Nairobi, and we have two, one in Kisumu, and another one is in Ramogi Hill, where, and I thank the Lord for the brethren that have contributed towards building of that church building. And now it is almost done. The roofs, the doors, the windows, everything, even on the walls have been done. But we have a challenge that we need even more to do the floor and to do the front porch for us to start worshiping in that building. So I want you to pray for us as we remember that mission, because we still have a lot to be done, especially on the floor, and it's going to be a little more to be spent as far as that building is concerned. But I want to thank the Lord for having us giving us that mission. There are about 50 people attending each Sunday in that mission. We have a mission in a place called Kisii, and it's really the Lord is blessing us in Africa. And we want you to pray. We want you to pray. Continue praying for us, because without your prayers, we can. Without the prayer, there's nothing that the church can do. But when we continue praying for each other, the Lord's word becomes effective. And that's, as he has said, the word of God is powerful. It's powerful to do everything if it is according to his will. Thank you very much for listening for me. We have also a school, and some of you have heard that my wife Sarah runs a school which is having about 250. It's a elementary school where we have we have Muslims, and I do attend there to speak to those young people that are coming up. Every Friday we have opportunity to present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we use that one as also a center where we reach the young people with the word of Jesus Christ. I know in America it will be legal to get to the school and just open your Bible, but in Kenya, the Lord is still allowing us to do that. So let's pray that we shall continue to have that privilege, because you realize how privileged it is to have that done now that you don't have it. And since you say that America is a land of freedom, and you see the gap just closes. Once it closes, you never have it. So let's pray. Pray for us that we shall use that opportunity that is still open in Kenya to reach those lost children that are there in Kenya. We also have a high school called Zelma Moore, New Hope Zelma Moore Academy, which is just on top of our church and church building. And we have now about 54 students. 20 of them are going to be sitting for the national examination, where if they succeed, they're going to go to the universities. So we pray for their performance, and we pray also for those are lost, because in Kenya we admit everyone so long as he has the details and the credentials that are needed. Then everyone, so long as he has the points that is needed for him to come to the school. So we have some Muslims, we have different, we also have Christians who have come, and we are reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Friday there's always time. On Wednesday there's always time for us to meet them and to preach to them the gospel. And because of that effort, about four of them has got saved, and two of them have been called to preach at the high school. So we want you to continue remembering that effort. May the Lord bless you for doing that. I want us now to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 10. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 10. I read. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And he said, and his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribe that Elijah must come? And to leave it right there. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity that you have given to me, and I pray, God, my Lord, that will be able to quicken my mind and my heart to be able to speak what you want me to speak. Help me, Lord, for I need you at this particular hour. I bless you and I thank you, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by this particular time to ask you to pray for me because I need to just speak what the Lord wants me to speak. In this book of Matthew, most of you may know that Matthew had also another name called Levi. When he was called, he was a tax collector. And he was a very good person when Jesus called him. And he followed Jesus. And as he followed Jesus, when he wrote this scripture, he had one particular goal, is to let the Jews know that Jesus was the kingly Messiah. Because most of the Jews did not really understand. They couldn't understand how could this Jesus be the Messiah. So Matthew, as a Jew, wrote it in order for every Jew person to realize that truly the Jesus that they did not believe, that walked in that road of Galilee, is the one who truly is the Messiah. So here he talks about Jesus taking his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And most of you know that Peter, James, and John were almost, Peter was almost, was the one who was speaking and was somehow seen as the leader of these people. John and James, though were many people, John and James were what I can call brothers to Jesus. And their mother was called Salome, or Salome, what we call in our language. Salome was a sister to Mary, who was a mother to Jesus Christ. So you see the relationship. And therefore he comes up and tries to explain that he, as far as he has studied Jesus and as far as he has experienced Jesus, he truly know and he could recommend Jesus to every Jew, because Jews had a problem because they saw Jesus as doing blasphemy. Jesus was taking himself to be God, and they didn't like that. And they accused him every time of what he was doing, because they knew he could not be. But Matthew was coming up and telling them that he was truly the Messiah. This particular morning, I want to tell you that Jesus is not only the Messiah, but is the fulfillment of the law and the prophet. And you see, he begins and he says, he took those disciples. James and John had already come to Jesus, if they could be allowed to be given some high ranking. They wanted someone to be on the right hand, another one to be in the left hand. And Jesus told them, he asked them if they could be able to take the cup that he was about to take. And somehow Jesus said that they didn't know what they were asking for. And here he takes them up and he's transfigured. And the Bible says that the face begins to shine as the sun, and raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus Christ. You see, if you look at the in the chapter 17 of the last section, verse 28, chapter 16, verse 28 says, "Verily I say unto you," verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here, we shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Many of the scholars believe that in the next verse that we have read, that it was a fulfillment that James and John and Peter saw Jesus. They saw him having another body, another appearance that they could not really, they were not aware of. And they somehow begin to see truly this is not only a human being, but God himself. So it was like the transfiguration was a fulfillment of Jesus had already told them before it happened, that some of you will not die until you see the Son of Man uplifted, and you will not see death. You see the Son of Man coming in his glory, in his kingdom. And here he is up, and the law, which is Moses. Moses appeared representing the law. And Elijah appearing here representing the prophets. And they were talking to Jesus Christ. You see, all along there has been a talk about his death. Has been a talk about his agony, his arrest, and all these things were happening. And some of the disciples, it was bad news, because they have given their lives for something more. They have given themselves to following Jesus Christ, that in future they thought that they are going to be some kind of politician. They are going to have some kind of positions in the government, because the kingdom of God was having a lot of things, and they had a lot of idea of what that kingdom would be. But before they knew it, Jesus was turning and was talking about his death, his arrest, his agony, and how he will be taken up and he will die on the cross. And they were wondering, was really this what we gave our life for? But Here he talks, after they see Jesus transfigured, the law spoke. You see, when Moses was with his disciples, the law was really a schoolmaster, leading them towards something better. So the law, when Moses appeared, and you can begin to wonder, what were they talking about? They were talking about the salvation plan. They were talking about what Jesus had to go with. In other verses, we find out they write that they encourage Jesus to continue the process, to continue the plan, to make sure that he goes ahead and fulfills everything that God has planned through him. And therefore, when the law spoke, when the law was given, Moses told Jesus, "You are the only fulfillment. You are the only hope of this world. If you don't die, if you don't do any, if you don't go through whatever that God had planned for you to be a perfect solution to the human being or to the sinful man, there's no another way." So they encourage Jesus to continue. They encourage Jesus, and as the law said, that do not. They were given many other things to do, that for their sins to be forgiven. But the prophets and the high priest did all this. Every Israelite, every Jew had, every time, every year, they had to present a lamb. If you were poor, you could bring a dove or a pigeon, and the pigeon was to be sacrificed. For your sins. It was a scapegoat. And that sacrifice was to take over your sins for almost 1 year. Then the next year you had to do the same. Every year in, a year out, the priest did this. And if you can imagine, how did that altar look like? Where they burned that offering. It was awful. And God wanted to find a better way of dealing with human being's sin. Of course, God is just. God is just. And therefore, he was going to punish sin. But he had to come out the way that he could save man. Because God loves man. If you are here this particular morning, I want to tell you that God loves you. And he does not want any man to perish. He wants every man to come to repentance, that he may seek Jesus Christ and be saved. He says that in his father's house there's a mansion, and he's going to prepare for us a place, that after he is finished, he's going to come and take us, so that where he is, we may also be. That's how serious God is. God does not want man to perish. He's not happy with the death of a sinner. That's why he made a plan of salvation. And that plan, everything is hanged on Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice, a perfect solution. His death on the cross was a perfect sacrifice that could not be avoided. You see, as a man and as he walked in this world, you see, he was walking and getting ready to die for the sins of this world. And there were people accusing him and of blasphemy and all of the other things. But when Moses represented the law unto him, say, "You are the only hope for this world. If you don't die for them, they are going to be, there is no way. Because the sacrifice that they are doing every year is invalid." God came with a good plan, a better plan for saving mankind. That he provided for himself a lamb. And that lamb is Jesus Christ. Isaiah in his prophecy said that God in chapter 55, he talks about many other things. And 53, he talks about God, that God providing for himself, that Jesus, though he was not sin, he was not a sinner, he was made sin because of us. And he says that he died because of us. When we saw him, there was no any good appearance that we could really hold him. And yet, all the suffering and the pain and agony that he went through, it was because of us. Because he loved us. And as Moses said, you are the only solution. You are the only solution and you are the only hope for this world. If they were to be saved, Jesus had to die. That's also what the prophet said. Well, we have stood before the Israelites. Elijah said, we have done even miracles and signs. We have done everything. And even we have brought God himself. We have even contested between the Baal and God. And God has come down and manifested that he is God among the people of Israel and among the people of that land. And yet they believe just for a while. There need to be a perfect solution. And what is this perfect solution? It's Jesus Christ. They encourage him. If there is anybody that is going to be to help the humanity, then it must be Jesus. He is the only hope. He's the one that you can look upon. He's the one that you can trust on. You can trust on him. Because he stood firm to make sure that your sin debt is paid. He died that you may have your way in. He paid for your sin. And now he's calling you, come to me, those who are heavy laden. And he say, I will give you rest. Are you troubled? Are you in pain? Are you in agony? Are you hopeless? Have you lost the way? He says, I'm the way. Are you hopeless? He says, I'm the life. And I am the truth. Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. He's the one that I'm here to uplift. He's the one that I'm here to direct you to. Because he's the only hope to this world. If there is anybody who will find his way, will go to heaven, it is because of him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the perfect solution. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of this world. He is the one that has provided us the privilege to be called again the children of God. It's only him. It's only him. The prophet says, Jesus, you are the hope. We all depend on you. We all depend on you. I told them, even God gave me the Ten Commandments. I came down with it. But when I came down, I found man had sinned. And they have blasphemed and did something against God. And what did I do? I broke it down even before I could give them. Even to me, I could not follow that law. I broke it. Jesus, you are the only solution. You are the one that we now depend on. You have to give yourself to it. You have to fulfill the law. He is the mediator. The reconciler is the one that we see sin has separated us and has made us an enemy of God. We can try by all means to reach God by doing good works, by being good people, by being smart children. And even some of us will go a mile away to do anything for them to be seen as good. And even coming to the church. And whatever that you can do, that people will say, he is a good man. I've gone to funerals and I have heard people give their testimonies of how good that person was and how valuable he came to church and how he paid his tithes and offering and how he supported everything that the church, but unfortunately he did not get saved. Where is he? Where is that man? He's now in hell, despite all the good works that we do, because our works are like filthy rags to God. We must be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God has provided His grace, and His grace is what has brought you here. And you have to respond by faith. Faith not in what you can do, but faith in what He did on the cross. Jesus Christ, the solution for our sin nature. He died in your place. Instead of you dying, He died. Instead of you going to any hell, He died so that He may buy you, He may redeem you from your way, that you may find your way to heaven. What else could He do? And He say in the verse that goes ahead, He says that the answer, verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Being in God's presence is something fantastic and something good and enjoyable. You see, when the Lord moves and when His presence is felt, the church begins to grow and the church begins to be strengthened and the church becomes visionary and begin to look for the lost souls and they begin to pray without ceasing, because they are a people that are called out, the priesthood of God. We are bought by His blood. He's the credit. If we, any one of us, will go to heaven, not because of what we did, but because of what He did at Calvary. He provided the alternative for salvation for mankind. But how do you come to God? It is through faith, repentance. And you must be convicted for you, because the Bible says that unless God draws you, He must draw you. And when He draws you and become faithful, and you follow your heart, because your heart fears hell. Sometimes we listen so much to our mind, and you see the mind is going to die, but your heart or the soul will not die. It either goes to hell or goes to heaven. And most of our souls would like to go to heaven. But sometimes we hear, we follow the stubborn heart. Because the devil does not want any one of us to go to heaven, because he has sinned against God continually and is waging a war against God. But God is already overcome and is calling you, my son, come. You see, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, he talks about John. When John looked, and the Bible says that he saw somebody, an angel, trying to pronounce about the seal, and says that the seal was sealed. And somehow there was a voice who's asking, who can open or break this seal and see anything that was inside? And the sound was that there was no one that was capable of coming in and breaking and seeing what was inside. Sometimes I've been wondering, what was it that was inside that seal? And the Bible talks about John, after he heard that bad news, that there was no one that was worthy to be able to open and to see what was written, what did he do? He had to fall down. And the Bible says that he cried. He cried because he knew that man was doomed to hell and there was no solution at all. But thank God that an elder said, no, don't cry, for there is one that has been found worthy. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's a lion He's the one that is able to open and is ready, is able to read anything that is written there. He's the only one that has become curse. And because of his curse, we have become the blessed. Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in chapter 5, verse 5 of the chapter 17 that I read, that while he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." You see, sometimes we get so much interested and we get so much overwhelmed and so happy, and because of the things that happens nearby. And you see, when Jesus was clothed on high and the disciples had opportunity to see Elijah and Moses coming and discussing, and Peter seeing what was happening, he became so happy and said, "Please, why don't we just build some tabernacles here that we may live here forever and rejoice in the presence of God?" But you see, while he was speaking, immediately cloud came down. He wanted a tabernacle to be brought, but Jesus, God, provided a tabernacle for himself. And he said, "Listen, this is my only beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. This is my only Son, in whom I am pleased. Hear ye him." He is the answer. Hear what he speaks unto your heart. Because if you don't listen to him, you are going to end up in hell. If today we could just have a moment and open a lid of hell and hear the turmoil, hear the rumbling and the fighting and the murmuring and the agony that is up there, and you hear how they are running each and every place looking for a savior, looking for an escape. There is no escape. Because in hell, there is no savior. The savior, once you die, is either, if you are saved, the Bible says that your soul is taken up by the Lord. And if you die without Christ, you go straight away to hell. And you are going to look for a savior in hell. He's not there. The savior is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. The Bible says that he prays for us. He is making intercession on our behalf. When we pray, sometimes we pray, but a prayer that is not, we don't know what even to speak, but he makes those prayer of repentance very powerful and acceptable unto God. And when God hears in a person who prays and comes to the altar, he may be down there or another place, but after you have heard the truth and you say, "God, I surrender myself to you, save me, let me take my life and let it be." And when Jesus looks down and sees us in that agony, in a godly sorrow, that situation, he turned to the Father and says, "I died for him. I died for him." All the suffering and the agony and the cross and the pain and the nails and everything that I went through, it was because that I loved that man. It's because I loved that son. It's because I loved that old man. It's because I loved that young boy. I died and suffered. I gave myself for you. What can you do? When the Father hears the prayer, the intercession of the Son at the right hand, he makes salvation possible to us. Amen. If you call him today, he will save you. The Bible says, "Hear him, because he is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. We are pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and not be afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. He's the only one that you can depend on. Your church, though it might be wonderful, might have good friends around you. They can make good prayers. But as far as your sin is concerned, it's you and him. Because his sin has to be justified. There's no way that you can come to God unless you go through the Son. It's only the Son. Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only way that you can get to the Father. And you have to listen to him. You have to listen to your heart. You have to listen and follow what your heart tells you. You have to surrender that which is bothering you. You have to give it over. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Because he's the only one that is able to take you and to grab you out of hell. Because the devil wants you to go to hell. But God wants you to go to heaven. And you need to hear that God is not pleased. God is not happy with the death of a sinner. His prayer is that you will hear this truth and you will come to him in prayer and you will seek him, like as I say, while he can still be found. You call upon him while he's still near, because there's going to be a time when you're going to call upon his name and he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there and he's not going to be found. He's not in hell. He's here. His presence is real. Amen. Heaven is real and hell is real. Amen. Where are you going to? What do you have to go to hell? Completely nothing. Can come to church and do everything, but you will end up in hell. But what do you have to do to get to heaven? You must trust Jesus. You must call upon his name. You must repent of your sins. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. There's no one that can be counted good. Because all of us, Adam sinned, and every man has been counted as sinner. And we are marching every moment, every time, we are marching to hell. You have to hear him. That's why we say, repent is to make about turn. When he calls, says, come to me, those who are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Come while he still speaks. Come while his love is still there. Because there's going to be a time when he's going, the Bible says, he's going to come. And he's going to come terrified. He's going to come. The sinners are going to hear of him. And they're going to look for rocks to hide themselves. Because he's coming. Soon he's coming. Coming for me. But he's going to judge. He's going to judge the sinner. Would you like to come before this God of love, who has done everything, came to this world, walked in this dusty road of Galilee, was arrested and put on the cross, died and resurrected, and now is in the heart of God, has done everything. Would you like to meet him as your judge? What will you say? He says, I died for you. I died for you. I want to say this as I finish. There was a newspaper that I read many years ago about a certain lawyer who was studying, I think, in America. And this lawyer, he went to school, and when he was training, he liked going near the river. I think it was around Mississippi. And as he was studying his law book, one day he was seated over there and heard a cry. And he knew the cry was for help. He looked down in the river and saw somebody in the water. Trying to come out. He was drowning. And calling, please, somebody, help. He took his clothes out and ran into the water. Got him out. Did everything to bring him to life. Many years later, this lawyer graduated and became an attorney in one of these courts. And while he was officiating Somebody was found with murder in the first degree. He was found and brought in before him. And when that person was brought and was seated there, the sentence was read unto him, and he was told that he had been found guilty with the second degree, and he was asked to say anything before he could be sentenced to death. He stood up and he looked at the lawyer as far as he was concerned, but now he was a high court judge. Looked at him and somehow tried to smile at him, because he knew this is a man who many, many years ago tried to help him out of water. And he looked at him and said, "Friend, remember many, many years ago at Mississippi, somebody was drowning in the water. And you came out, took him out of the water. I could have died many years ago if it were not you. I plead with you that today you have the same mercy you had on me when I was drowning on that river." The jury, the court judge looked at him and somehow was remorseful and said, "Friend, it's good you remember what I did while I was still studying law. But I want to remind you that what I studied is to be just to every man." Right there, I was a judge. I was a lawyer, a student, learning how to do justice. But now the American government has put faith on me, gave me the power to be the judge of this court. I found you with first degree murder. I hereby sentence you to death. The man cried, "Hey, please, please, have mercy on me. You did help me that day." He said, "No, I have to be just." And he told, "You see, I want to tell you, if you are here this morning and you are lost, Jesus Christ that we preach today is just like a lawyer. He's now reaching out everywhere, reaching to the young, to the old. Every sinner is calling them, please come. Those who are thirsty, come and buy water without any money. Come, come anyone. His hands are stretched all over, every year, every time, day in, day out, 24/7, calling upon every sinner to come. But they harden their hearts, just like Hebrews says, if you hear the voice of the Lord this morning, do not harden your heart. Because this Jesus is soon, the Bible says, now risen. He's in the right hand of God, and he's going to rise from that seat of mercy one of these days. He's going to rise from that seat of mercy. And once he rises up from that seat of mercy, it is going to be done. There's not going to be any grace. There's not going to be any mercy. There's not going to be anything else that can save you. But there's going to be justice. The same Jesus who is now appealing, who is now calling you, is coming back. But you know what he's coming back to do? He's coming to be the judge. See, one thing I tell people, that the Muslims that we hear about, they believe, and though they don't trust, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they know Jesus is a prophet. And they say he's going to come to judge both the Christian and the Muslims. How it blesses my heart that the Muslims know that the Savior Jesus Christ is the one that is worthy to render justice. Because he's going to be judge, he's going to be just. He's not going to let any sinner, because you are a churchgoer, because you are a brother of the pastor, or you are a husband to whatever, whoever, because you did good, he's not going to listen to any of those. He's going to ask you, is your sin under the blood? Is your sin been forgiven? Did you hear the preachers? Did you hear the prophets? Did you hear the law? What they said? They said, hear him. He's the only solution. He's the only answer. The only hope. If you are there at this particular time, don't wait for him to sit on the justice chair and judge you. It will be so bad for him that died on the cross, took the shame of the cross because of you. I want us to sing a song. If you are there this particular morning and you are lost, this is time. You can pray wherever you want, but the altar is always open. It cannot save you, but it's a good place to come to seek the Lord. Amen. I want to ask you, if you are there, I want to invite you to the altar. Come, we want to pray together. Come, we want to call upon the name. But you have to make your own call. It is you and him, the offended and the one that is guilty. He is the offended and you are the guilty. He want to take that guilt away. I want to tell them, many years ago, I felt that message. I heard the truth, and I felt the burden, and I feared hell. I saw hell open, and I feared that very day I was going. There was going to be a judgment, and I ran and I asked every place, and I went to every church looking for salvation. I could not find one. But when I heard that Jesus can save me, I went down on my knees and I cried, God. And I repented of my sin. I asked him to have mercy on me. I want to tell you, he did have mercy on me. And God is not a respecter of any man. The way he did to me, he can do to you.
Amen.
Come as we sing. May the Lord bless you.
Turn to page number 124. I'll stand.
Come.
appreciate the good message that we've heard today. Good message of the truth. And for anybody that might be here today lost that don't know the Lord, you've heard a great message of instruction.
Amen.
Jesus. Anybody that tells anybody any other way of salvation other than what he preached today is wrong. Jesus is the only way. Through repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only way that anyone will ever be saved or ever has been saved or is ever going to be saved. And I thank him for his word today. Would there be a thought or a word on anyone's heart? Been suggested that we have an altar prayer this morning. We do. We need to pray. Before we come up, is there anybody got anything else on their heart?
I'd like to tell Brother Tom I really enjoy the sermon.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Appreciate this. We serve a just God. His judgment will be perfect. There will be no error, no flaws in His judgment of our character, anything about us. It'll all be perfect. And sad thing about it is, those that have heard the truth and chosen not to repent and believe, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, judgment will be sealed. God's judgment is just, it's perfect, and it will be final for everlasting eternity throughout end. See, that's why salvation is important. We've got a short period of time that we live here on this earth. Just a very, very smidgen as far as time goes that we are present here upon this earth. But we have an eternity somewhere one day. We're going to have eternity. Heaven or hell. Only two places. If you hadn't believed in what this man preached this morning, if you hadn't believed in Jesus, if you hadn't trusted in Him to the saving of your soul, hell will be your home for eternity. It's an eternal thing. It ain't something that you can go in and go out whenever you want to. It's an eternal thing. Glory be to God. Heaven will be the same way for those of us that have believed, that have trusted in Him. I thank the Lord for that this morning. Anything else on anyone's heart before we come to the altar and have prayer? All that can and will, let's gather here in the altar. If you're lost and don't know the Lord and want to pray, pray. If you have someone on your heart here today, let's pray for them.
God, as we know, Lord, we thank you for this great message, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
that I've been brought to us today by the message of Jesus, Lord. And I just wish everyone, everybody I know could have heard this message, Lord. All those that are lost, Lord, I pray, might just be able to hear and understand that they have become Jesus. Pray to God before it's ever late and too late, that they will all understand this thing that was preached and said, Lord. And they have all done that, Lord, this morning. When eternity comes to each and every one of us, Lord,
it'll be an
eternity. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time. That's why, Lord, we thank you, God, for the work, Lord, that they do, dear Lord, and the effort that we bought, they put forth, dear God.
We pray, dear Lord,
every day for the Lord to come before us today and the same free, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Ask for God that you just bless them, Lord, to be with them, dear Lord. I want you to keep them safe, Lord. All their infants, dear Lord, the children, dear Lord, and these boys, that they are involved with, Lord, they might be saved. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for salvation, for your souls, dear God, for that time and place, Lord, that we have, that we repented and we believed, and that you came into our hearts and allowed us to know and understand, dear Lord, what we have. We thank you, God, for that, and ask your God just to continue, Lord, to be with us. We thank you for all your blessings upon us, Lord. Be with us, Lord, we pray. Open their eyes to the understanding that they would seek you to be saved. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. In Jesus' name, we humbly beg and pray. Amen.